Last Sunday morning, I spoke to you about God's plan for every Christian, that every one of us, as God's people, would desire to be set apart for God. That means that everything in our lives would be pleasing to God. Every part of who we are, every part of our personality, every part of our desires and our hopes and our future would belong to God. Sanctification is wanting God's authority in every area of your life. A verse that changed my life and was very important to me when I was a teenager, 17 years old, is this one in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. It is God's will that you should be sanctified. This verse did change my life, and it changed a lot of things about what I thought and how I understood God and how I understood God's will and desire in my life. We know that God desires to shape us. When we come to faith in Christ, it's the beginning point of a relationship of being like Him. And so we see God as the potter, and we're the clay, and God wants to take us and form us and shape us. Go on to that next slide, would you please, Nate? And He wants to mold us in every area of our lives into what He wants us to be. And so when we think about being set apart and we think about sanctification, we think about God shaping and God changing what He wants to, and God taking out anything anything about the vessel that's not right. Being sanctified means we want God's will to be done. We give Him the permission in every area of our lives. Last week I asked you to imagine a large house. And imagine that you're inside the house, it's your house, that you're the owner, you paid for it, it belongs to you, and Jesus is knocking on the door to that house, and He's wanting to come in and be with you. And so He knocks on the door, and we all make a choice. Do we allow Him to come in? And when you open that door and you invite Jesus in, you're asking Him to come into your heart and into your life, and you accept His forgiveness, and you understand what it means that you're separated from God by sin. And He comes into the house. And then as you talk and you listen and you get to know who Jesus is inside of you, and the Holy Spirit speaking to you, and you hear God's Word, and you realize that there's another step of faith, and that's when you really invite Jesus to go into every part of your life, into every room in your house, and examine and look at what's there and give you counsel and clean out what needs to be cleaned out, and to give Him complete authority in every area, in every room of your heart and your life. Well, this morning I want to speak about one of those rooms that each one of us have in our house. It's an important room. It's a room that, of many, it's not the only important room, but it's one that's very important to your heart and your spirit and to your obedience to God and your desire that everything in your life would be given and under the authority of God. It is important in your relationship with God. It's also important to the body of Christ. It's important to the needs of people. I want to call this room the room of stewardship, about being a faithful servant with what God entrusts to you in your life. There's a lot of areas of stewardship that are important in your life. I want to focus this morning on financial stewardship and some principles that God gives us about what He gives to us and entrusts in our care. I think of stewardship in three primary areas, but there are many others too, of our time and our talent and our treasure. God gives everybody a certain amount of time. In fact, He gives all of us the same amount of time. And, you know, I often say I'm just too busy. But the truth is, God gives me just as much time as He gives to you. And God calls each one of us to be a steward of that time, and to use it wisely. Paul says, make the most of every opportunity. God wants us to understand that time is a precious gift that He gives to us, and what you do with your time is important. You can use your time wisely, or you can use it unwisely. You can use your time in ways that honor God, or you can use it in ways that say, I want my own way, and self-centered. God calls us to be very careful about our time. God also gives everybody certain abilities or talents. We think of the word today, talents, but God gives to every person certain gifts and certain opportunities. And no matter who you are or what your background is, God gives to you certain abilities. He may not give you the same gifts or abilities that He gives the person beside you. He may give the person beside you more than you or less than you. But the truth is, God gives every person certain gifts and abilities. The question is, are you willing to give those back to Him? Are you willing for God to have authority over the abilities and the time that God has given you? And then in the very important area of treasure and what God gives us in material possessions, the Bible says a great deal about our material possessions. In fact, it's one of the subjects probably of I've read before of five subjects that it's one of the subjects that God speaks more about than any other. It's in the top five of things that God says about in His Word. How do you see what God gives you? And what are the principles from Scripture about the money, the material possessions, the wealth that you have, the things that God gives you? God does give us a number of very important principles in the Scripture about how we see those things. And today I want to talk to you about those things. Christian stewardship is being grateful for God and what God's given you. Christian stewardship is being grateful for what God has given you and also having in your heart the understanding to give back to God what He's given to you. Stewardship is knowing that God's given it to you and He holds you accountable for what you have and what you do with it. There are so many scriptures about what God wants us to understand and use about our time and our talents and our treasures, our material possessions. This morning I want to speak especially about those possessions, important principles for God's people. I want to focus on God's principles about those things. Jesus told a story. It was a parable. It wasn't a real story, but it's a story that Jesus told in order to help us to understand how important stewardship is in our lives. In this story, Jesus helps us to know how God looks at our possessions. I guess I'll call them the talent parable. It is called by some the parable of the talents. It's in Matthew's gospel. It's also in Luke's gospel. And I want us to read that together today. Would you stand with me? And if you have your Bible, you want to read along. It's Matthew chapter 25, verse 14. It's kind of a long parable, and I'm going to read it this morning. Follow along if you want to, or just listen and remember. This is a story that Jesus told. So what is it that God wants to say to you and to me today from this story of the talents? Matthew chapter 25, verse 14. Again, it will be like a man who's going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with the 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with the 2 talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received the 1 talent came. Master, he said, I know that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked and lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not gathered seed. Well, then you should have put my money on deposit with a banker so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Thank you. You may be seated. In this story, Jesus helps us to know how God looks at the gifts that He gives us. I want to talk about 3 principles, 3 talent principles that we see very clearly in this story, and then I want to talk to you about 2 areas of stewardship, generosity and tithing. The first principle that I see in this story is this: all that we have as Christians, Would you go on to that slide, please, Nate? All that we have as Christians is from God. As Christians, we know and we understand that all that we have belongs to God. If truly we desire to be God's people, we understand that everything in our possession, our time, our talent, our treasure, everything that's a part of life that we have is from God, and God gives it to us for a while. All that we have comes from God. It's made possible by God. Until you really believe that in your core of your heart, you cannot honor God with your life. Until you come to the place of realizing and understanding that everything in life that God gives you is something that He loans to you and is something that He gives to you for a time and that you're responsible for. Until you understand that, you will not know what it's like to honor God with your life. See, this is one of those rooms that God's knocking at the door on. How do we see what we have, what God's given us? How do we see our responsibility with what God gives us in life? God gives treasures to us for a time. I mean, we all know, and there's all kinds of jokes about we can't take it with us, and we know that. We know that when we pass over from this life to the next, that we leave behind the physical things. Jesus talked about that. In fact, He talked about storing up treasures in heaven where moth and rust doth not corrupt. He talks about the difference between storing up treasures on earth. You might say that the things that God gives us is a loan that God gives us for a while. Truly, the time that you have is a loan from God. The money that you have, the talents, the abilities that you have, God gives you for a time. The second principle from this parable is that God gives every person certain gifts. In the New Testament, we read where Paul writes that God gives to each person certain abilities, certain gifts, and it comes from the heart of God. Every single Christian, it's like that. You're like that today. I know you have 24 hours. There's no doubt. There's no debate. Every person has 24 hours. If you understand your day and your time is something that's important to God and that you're a steward of that, then you look at life different from those that just want what they want and they see life from a self-centered perspective. Your time is important to God. God sees that and He wants you to know that He's given it to you and it's important. God gives gifts to people. God gives abilities. Every person that's here is created different. People are made with different abilities. People are made with different aptitudes, different gifts in life and in the church and in so many ways. God gives different a variety and proportions. We don't look alike. We don't sound alike. We don't think alike. We don't feel alike. We're different people. God has made us all individual. But the truth is, the principle of Scripture is God's made every single person unique. And He's given to every single person certain unique abilities. In one parable, one servant, in this parable, the first servant, the master gave 5 talents. The second servant, the master gave 2 talents. And the third servant, the master gave 1 talent. This parable isn't about the first servant is better than the last servant or the master loved the first servant more. The truth is they were different. There was variety in them. Each one of them had an opportunity to use what they had in order to honor the master. Each one had the same opportunity, not based on how much gift they had been given, but whether or not they were faithful with what they had been given. They were different, but they all had the opportunity to use what the talents were given to them, either wisely or unwisely. The second principle, God gives every person certain gifts. The third principle about stewardship is that we are accountable to God for those gifts. I mean, the meaning of this parable, that's the main point of this story, is that God is watching to see if we're faithful with what He gives us. Are we going to understand what He's given us and be faithful with those things? In this parable, 2 of the servants were found faithful. Go on to that next slide, would you, Nate, please? There were 2 servants in this parable, in this story, who took what talents were given. In this case, it sounds like from the context, and again, this is a story, this is a parable, that the master gave him a certain amount of money. He said, okay, you invest it, you use it, and I will come back later. And 2 of them did that. They took it, and they invested it, and they did something with it. I don't know exactly what they did. Again, this is a story, but it's the idea that matters. When the master came back, those 2 came back and said, I took it, and I used it, and I have multiplied it, and now I bring it back. And so those two did what the master wanted them to do. Well done, thou good and faithful servants. Come and share in the master's happiness. See, the master commended them that they did what they could. They did their best. They used it wisely. They saw it as something that was very valuable and useful. They put it to work and it multiplied. The first two servants did that. It had nothing to do with the amount, but had everything to do with their faithfulness. You know what God gives you? It's really not the amount that matters. It's your faithfulness with whatever God gives you in your life. It's the principle of stewardship in the Scriptures. And then there was the servant with one talent. And this man, he had a lot of reasons why he did what he did. He had a lot of excuses, if you would. He was afraid, it said. I knew who you were, and that's not what I thought was good. And I was scared what was going to happen. He had all kinds of reasons, but he went out, he dug a hole, and he put his talent in the ground. And, of course, that's symbolic. Not a true story, but this is the idea. I'm sure you understand what the Master Jesus is saying in this story. He says, if we take what God gives us and we use it selfishly, and we hoard it, and we don't understand that it's to be used to glorify God, then we're like the third servant in this story who took what he had and buried it in the ground. There was a principle of investing for the master that he ignored. There was a principle about what really who this belonged to that he ignored. God gives us certain principles and commandments, including this parable, to understand what he wants us to do with the treasures that he gives us. And there's a lot of different principles. Just like with the servants in the parable. I said a little bit ago, I wanted to focus on two of them this morning about the treasures in your life. One is the importance of generosity, and one is what tithing means. The first is generosity. Undoubtedly, from the Scripture, from the earliest pages of the Scripture to the end of the Bible, we find verses and principles about the importance of a heart of generosity for God's people. God desires His people to see the possessions that they have as opportunities to help other people. God calls us to see our possessions different than people in the world do. God calls His people to see what they have in a different light and a different way than other people do. One of the other principles, and I'm not focusing on that today, is the blessings of God and material possessions for those that honor Him. If you do what God called you to do in life and you live out the principles of stewardship, the chances are your life's going to be far more blessed than the person beside you who doesn't. And that includes generosity. You cannot outgive God. You cannot do more. You cannot give more. You cannot help people more. It's never a subtraction from who you are. It may be a subtraction from your bank account. It may be a subtraction of your time. But when you use what God's given you to love people and bless other people, God will bless you for it. The principle of Scripture is given many times. God blesses those who bless others. Psalm chapter 112 says this, good will come to him who is generous and lends freely. Good will come. There's many psalms and many scriptures that talk about what generosity does, not for the person who receives, but for the person that gives. We also know that it's better to give than to receive, and many others, and I'm not going to take time to quote and talk about this morning. There are so many examples of generosity, the call to generosity and faithfulness of generosity. In Acts chapter 11, verse 29, in the early church, the disciples, each according to his ability, decided to provide help for the brothers living in Judea. There's many examples, both in the Old Testament and the cornering of the fields. The crop was to be left so that the poor could come and have food to eat. And through the New Testament, examples in the early church of generosity that God calls his people of every generation, the Old Testament and the New Testament, be people that are generous and faithful in these ways. The second principle that I want to talk about this morning is the importance of tithing. The word tithe means 10%. It's a commandment that God gave to His people beginning in the Old Testament with Abraham. In the book of Genesis chapter 14, the beginning of of tithing took place when Abraham, who was called of God to be the father of the nations, to be the one who would lead to the line of Jesus, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and then all of God's people throughout the Old Testament, God began with Abraham, and it says God blessed Abraham, and then Abraham gave him a tithe. That's the first time in the Bible that we have the word tithe. And then from that point on, you have consistently throughout the law of Moses and the history of the Old Testament people, the commandment and the principle of the importance of tithing of God's people. It's a principle that God gave to His people. People were to bring back to the Lord. It became a part of the covenant between God and His people. If you read the Old Testament, you read in the Old Testament, in the covenant, this principle of the way people looked at how God blessed them. Again, how did they see what God gave them? How do we see what God gives us today? The principles are very similar today. It became a part of the covenant between God and His people, the covenant of tithing. They were to bring back to the Lord one-tenth of whatever God gave them, whatever God blessed them, whether God gave them, I'll put it in our terms today, whether God gave them $20,000 or $2, they were to bring the tithe to the Lord because it was a response of thankfulness to the hand of God. It was a response to what God had done to them. The tithe in the Old Testament began as a thanksgiving response to the goodness of God. The tithe in the Old Testament was the response of God's people who acknowledged in their heart that everything they had belonged to God. So you had the beginning of this principle. You had this beginning of this practice that started with Abraham and went through the law of Moses and led up through the book of Leviticus. I'll read a verse from the book of Leviticus. It says, "A tithe of everything from the land, whether grain from the soil or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord. It is holy to the Lord." You see, in a short amount of time, this idea of tithe became a principle. Then it became a part of the law of Moses. It became a part of how God's people were to operate during that time. If you want to understand the meaning and the purpose of tithe, it's good to go back and understand what it meant to the Old Testament people, to the people of God. A tithe of everything. Again, it was people bringing back out of thanksgiving what God had given and done for them. It says it belongs to the Lord. It is holy to the Lord. The tithe became something that it's not the people's tithe, it's God's tithe. It's people acknowledging the authority of God in their lives and the gifts that God had given them. This is what God gave them, and they were to return a tenth. Of course, they lived in an agrarian society there. They basically were farmers and took care of animals, and so that's what the income of almost all the people in Israel were. There were other professions too. Whatever they did, a tenth of their harvest, a tenth of their profit, a tenth of whatever God had given to them, that was the principle. They were to bring it to the Lord. They sometimes read stories of the great celebration of bringing the tithe into the storehouse. It was God's people acknowledging the goodness of God and the principles of truth in the Old Testament. I'm afraid in the New Testament day, sometimes we have forgotten and lost the meaning of the tithe and how important it was to the people of God in the Old Testament. 2 Chronicles chapter 31 says, "The Israelites generously gave," then look at the term on there, "the first fruits of their grains and new wine and oil and honey and all that their fields produced." They brought a great amount, a tithe of everything. Again, you have all throughout the Old Testament the story of God's people and the tithe. But then not every generation and not every king and not every people honored the commandments and the principles of stewardship in the Old Testament. And there are many other principles as well. But this morning, as I focus on tithe, I want to go to the last book of the Old Testament, the book of Malachi chapter 3. And we have more words from the last book of the Old Testament about the importance and the meaning of tithe. Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 and 9 say, "Will a man rob God? Yet you rob me in tithes and offerings. You are under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see that I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it." You see, the principle goes all the way from Abraham to the end of the Old Testament of the importance of the tithe. Do you hear the passion in the Word of God? Do you hear the heart of God here? God is not saying here, "I need your tithe." God's saying there's something about your responsiveness to my authority, your responsiveness to how, to what I've given you, the heart of thanksgiving. Are you truly thankful for what I've given you? Do you see it as belonging to me or to you? You see, tithe throughout the Old Testament is very clear. I want you to know that tithe in the New Testament, there's not as much, there's not very much at all about tithing in the New Testament. But I do want to give you three reasons, one of them from the New Testament, why I believe tithing is important for you to consider as a Christian today. Certainly, generosity is the overall guiding principle that God gives us about stewardship and a heart that wants to do and does whatever God allows us to do to meet the needs of people. I see tithing also as a principle. Generosity is so overwhelming throughout both the Bible. Tithing in the Old Testament is very clear, but honestly, in the New Testament, there's only one reference to tithing, and I want to read that in a couple of minutes. We see in Malachi, they had stopped tithing, and God noticed that, and He spoke to the prophet, and He said, "What are you doing? What's this mean? Do you believe that you can take away from the authority of God by doing this?" And you read the words there. See, tithing was a question of faithfulness and obedience. But what about tithing and generosity today? Is it still God's plan for His people? If it is, why? And if it is, what does that mean for us today? What about the church? Obviously, tithing is about supporting ministry. If you're a part of a local church, if you're a member of a local church, almost every church that I know of, you make a promise when you become a member that you will tithe. So tithing not only is about honoring God, but it's also a choice we make about supporting a church and wanting that church to be strong and wanting that church to continue in the generation that we are in. I really believe from both the sides of tithing, it's important to consider and weigh the truth of these things about tithing. Why should Christians still tithe today? I want to give you three reasons. In addition to this scripture in Malachi chapter 3 about the blessings of God, that's not why we should tithe, but there's such a truth about the blessings of God when we tithe. I've known in my life, I've heard some of you testify to that. The truth is, when you honor God with what you give to Him, God will honor you. That's the promise. That's not one of the three reasons, though, I want to encourage you to tithe and to consider that today. Clearly, God wants your heart. He wants that about every part of your finances. He wants that about your time and your talents. I mean, God wants all of you. And God will help you to know how to do that and what it means to totally give yourself to God. But the number one reason that, or the first reason I want to mention about tithing today, is that tithing was clearly God's plan for His people in the Old Testament. I mean, it's clear, and God never changed that. There's no reference anywhere that God took away that plan for His people and for the support of the ministry in the Old Testament or the New Testament. Right up into the second to last chapter in the Old Testament, some of God's strongest words in the end of the prophets are about tithing and about the importance of that in their lives. And so there's no indication that God changed that. I believe that tithing is still about being thankful to God and understanding that everything that we have belongs to God. That principle cannot change. It didn't change from the Old Testament. Tithing is a response to what God has given. A second reason is the words of Jesus in the New Testament about tithing. I said there's three references to a tenth or a tithing in the New Testament. Well, there's four. Two by Jesus, one in Matthew and one in Luke. And I want to read the one in Matthew, Jesus' words. Jesus spoke of the tithe in Matthew chapter 23. He is addressing hypocrisy among the religious leaders. He's addressing those that pretend to be God's people and are not. And so He has some really strong words to say. And what Jesus is referring to is not directly about the tithe, but what He says about the tithe as He's addressing a different issue, I really think we should hear and read. If you want to know what God says to us in the Word about tithing, hear the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 23 and also Luke chapter 11. Matthew chapter 23 says, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You give a tenth of your spices, mint and dill and cumin, but you have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness." So Jesus says to the Pharisees here, He says, I know you tithe. I mean, you give from all these spices and stuff that Pharisees apparently were connected to. And, you know, they did that. And he said, but even though you do that, you're neglecting the deeper things of the law, which is justice and mercy and faithfulness. He was saying to them, you can't be a pretender with God, even if you tithe, but your heart's not right with God. God doesn't have you. The truth is, no matter what you give, no matter how generous you are, if your heart doesn't belong to God, then what you give really doesn't matter. That's what Jesus said. But see, Jesus didn't stop there. He went on in the next verse and he said this, you should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former. Jesus said you should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former. In other words, I think Jesus said, although his subject wasn't specifically tithing, he certainly said to the Pharisees that it's important that you do that, but not as an excuse not to do the weightier things of the law, which are righteousness and justice and mercy here. See, the Pharisees had this deal where they pretended and they walked about with pride and arrogance and all this stuff about what they had done and what they had given and who they had, you know, they held their chin really high and Jesus hated that. He just hated that kind of haughty spirit and prideful spirit. And so he said, oh, I know who you are. Yeah, you do practice. You tithe. Oh, that's great. You should. But it's the other things that you haven't done. You've neglected those. Again, you should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former. I feel like this reference is something very important to consider the heart of God about the importance of tithing today. We know that generosity is so clear throughout the Bible. Tithing, because there's not as many references, especially after Malachi, people wonder, does God want me to tithe? I ask you to consider this deeply. The words of Jesus, and go back and read it and hear what it is and what it says. The third reason that I want to give you today for the importance of tithing is not necessarily a spiritual one, but it is certainly related, and that is the work of the church. What do you want to see happen in the church in the next generation? What do you want to see happen to churches? What do you want to see happen to this church? See, this church is here today because probably 60, 70, 80 years ago, there are a lot of people and the culture's different and the whole thing of self-centeredness is different probably than it was 80 years ago. But there were people a long time ago who were committed deeply to tithing and they gave deeply. They gave because they believed they should. Maybe some of them gave and they didn't believe that, but they gave. And because of that, the ministry of the Mifflinburg Church of the Nazarene started a long time ago, and people have given faithfully over time and over the years and over the generations to support the church. But you know, every generation is challenged with the same question. Is the church worth me giving my best? Is the church worth me giving my priority? Is the church worth some of the things that I could have instead if I didn't do? Some of the toys that I could have, quite honestly and frankly. Some of the things that I want. Is the church worth supporting? I think from the story of the Old Testament and from the words of Jesus and the deep question about what's important in the church today, I challenge you to consider the words of God about your stewardship and tithing. The truth is, the old timers seem to have a deep connection to tithing, but more and more in the church today, as the church, new generations and people are coming along and the challenges in our culture are different. Maybe the financial pressures are different. The challenges more and more for young people to understand how important it is to make the choice and the decision to support the church with who they are. Both from a spiritual perspective of how we see and we understand this principle of tithing from the Scriptures, but also in understanding the cost, counting the cost. You know, when it's time to get electricity, we don't tell PP&L, you know what, I really like the electricity, but I really don't want to pay the bill, so I'm not going to pay. You know, we wouldn't do that. You know, you want a car, you might negotiate with the owner, you might, you know, try to get them down and up and all that stuff, but in the bottom line, you kind of have an agreement and you decide and you do that. And you know, we do that about everything in life, but sometimes this room in our house, we kind of look at different with God. It's like, well, God, you're not like people, so, you know, that's more negotiable. That's up to me to decide. And there's a principle I mean, God says every man should give what God has given in his heart to give. That's not the verse, but he said God loves a cheerful giver. The truth is, does everything belong to you? Tithing is a decision about who's in charge of the room of stewardship in your heart and your life. I do want to challenge you. I want to challenge a lot of our young people, because I know that's an issue that different people talk to me about. Some of you have terrible pressures financially. Some because of decisions you've made that haven't been wise. I've made some of those. And some because of events and circumstances in your life. This message is not about guilt. This message is, hear the word of the Lord. What does God say to you? When you have your heart right about the principles of stewardship, God will show you. God will show you what's right and what's best. I invite you today to consider deeply the words of God. Consider deeply how important it is to the future of the church. Is the church worth, is the ministry of the church, the mission of the church, is it worth giving your best to? I challenge you to pray about that and care about that. Again, lastly, Malachi chapter 3. It is an important verse about stewardship. Go to that last one if you would, Nate, from Malachi. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty. This was the last thing we read about tithing in the Old Testament. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven. There is such a principle about obedience. It is so true about giving. Again, it's not that God, you know, if you are generous or you tithe, God's going to fill your bank account. It's not about that. But it's just so true. God will bless you in ways you really won't understand. That's the truth. That's the principle that is so true in my life. From personal testimony, I just tell you that. You can't outgive God. If your heart's right and it belongs to Him, you can't outgive God. God will bless you. The question is, will you be obedient really to the principles that God gives you? That's the question. That's the room in the house. John Wesley said, the purse is the last thing to be sanctified. That was interesting to me. The purse is the last thing to be sanctified. I don't know. It's an important room in your house. Would you stand as we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for Your commandments. Thank You for Your principles. Thank You for Your parables. Thank You for the words of Jesus. Lord, I pray that You would help us to hear them from the very depths of our hearts in sincerity and say, God, what do You want to say to me in my life? I pray, God, that we would understand Your principles and Your Holy Spirit to guide us. Help us, God, not to be self-centered. Help us, God, not to be self-focused. Help us, God, to understand we're part of the kingdom of God, that we would want to live and honor You in this area of our lives. Lord, as You knock on doors within our hearts, maybe this door of stewardship, God, help us to freely open up and let You come in and speak to us. Lord, may we hear Your truth, be drawn by Your Spirit, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you for being here today. God bless.